it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
You're listening to the Big House Bleachers Podcast.
Welcome to the Big House Bleachers Podcast, proud member of the Block M Podcast Network, brought to you by Fans First Sports. I am Michael Smeltzer. That is Matt Hartwell. It is Selection Sunday. And Matt, I can tell you one team that will not be selected for March Madness this Selection Sunday. And that is our beloved Michigan Wolverines. And so all you people out there that are Michigan fans that will be filling out a bracket, I'm very sorry, but the maize and blue will not be there. Matt, are you going to fill out a bracket this year?
I am, man. I mean, it's tradition, right? I've had a rough go of it this basketball season. As you know, I tweet all of the Michigan games for Maize and Brew, and there's just something miserable about live tweeting a Michigan basketball game two times a week that just ends in the exact same fashion every single game. And that misery has been mine for the last few months of the basketball season. And, you know, it sucks because obviously Michigan isn't a part of, you know, the upcoming Selection Sunday shenanigans. But, you know, we've got some exciting things kind of starting to take place with Michigan basketball. So it'll be a nice change of pace for this show to at least be able to talk some future excitement for the sport that we love so much.
Absolutely. And of course, you're referencing the fact that the Juwan Howard era at Michigan is over. It is coming to a close. We're going to talk about that. And we're also going to talk about some coaching candidates that Michigan should pursue now that Juwan Howard is gone. But we'll go ahead and wrap up the show with that because that's a really juicy conversation. Speaking of brackets, I'm going to let my two-year-old daughter fill out a bracket, and I'm going to submit it into my bet with all my buddies and see if she can beat them. And I'm not even going to tell them I'm doing it until after she beats them. And then I'm going to show a video of her filling out the bracket. That's just how confident I am that a two-year-old can do better than my idiot friends. But we'll talk basketball, but let's talk football, man. It was seemingly a really good week for Michigan football until we got one unfortunate piece of bad news. I'm not going to spoil that. So let's talk about the good stuff first. Sharone Moore, goes into the state of Ohio. We're in need of a running back coach with, you know, the sad news of Mike Hart, running back coach, legendary Michigan running back, will not return to Michigan as the running back coach. So Sharone Moore and the Michigan Wolverines are in need of a splash hire in that position, especially because Michigan relies on the running backs so much. And who does he get? I don't think any of us saw this coming. He goes in and grabs Tony Alford from Ohio State. He snipes Tony Alford from Ohio State, running back coach at Ohio State, makes a lateral move to Michigan. Well, I don't know if you can call it a lateral move. I call it a vertical move when you go from Columbus to Ann Arbor, but lateral with position title. Matt, did you see this coming? And what do you think about it?
This is the last thing that I saw coming, Mike. You know, if you would have asked me a month ago, I would have been pretty sure that his greatness, Mike Hart, would be back again for another year or two. You know, let's stop and touch on that a little bit, because, you know, I know there's a little bit of saltiness there within the fan base that Mike Hart did not renew his contract for whatever reason. But, you know, no love lost on the Michigan legend. Let's just get that out of the way. Love what Mike Hart did for the program. Love the guys that he brought in for the program. At the end of the day, whether it's for personal health related issues or whether it's for, you know, he just didn't see a future for advancement within Michigan football, you know, that should be okay for Michigan fans to be able to digest, you know, because at the end of the day, if you're Mike Hart, you see, you know, what you've done with the program, you see some of these other guys like getting the nod for promotions and advancement and new roles within the offense. And, you know, it just wasn't really coming to fruition for Mike Hart. So if his goals are to one day be an offensive coordinator or to be a head coach elsewhere, you know, then by all means, I wish him the best of luck. I hope that he finds that wherever he chooses to go, just because it didn't look like it was going to play out that way for him. So best of luck to Coach Hart. I am in love with the move of Tony Alford, right? Because what you're bringing in is an experienced recruiter at the running back position, a guy that was very tenured at Ohio State, spent a lot of time there, built up a solid reputation. There's a lot of Buckeye fans on social media that won't be inclined to agree with me right now as far as that goes, but don't let the hate get in the way of what you're thinking. This is an excellent hire by Sharone Moore. I'll tell you what I'm most excited about, Mike, is they are bringing in a guy that already has an established relationship with two of Michigan's primary backs, right? You know, save for Khalil Mullings, but Donovan Edwards, Jordan Marshall, two guys that were very, very heavily recruited by Tony Alford, have a solid relationship with that guy. I had an opportunity to look up a couple of quotes from Jordan Marshall's after Michigan made the hire. He's in love with the idea of being coached by Tony Alford. I did some digging after the hire, and I also found this article where Donovan Edwards was still being recruited by Tony Alford at Ohio State. And this is actually funny. You should look it up. It's by 11 Warriors, but 11 Warriors actually published a piece where Tony Alford won some points over with Donovan Edwards during his Ohio State recruitment by telling him that there's no way that he would ever leave Ohio State unless it was for a head coaching opportunity at Colorado State. I don't know if that's his alma mater or what the context was behind that, but to see him turn around a few years later to come coach the Maize and Blue, to come coach Donovan Edwards and Jordan Marshall after publishing that piece with 11 Warriors. I mean, it's one of the sweetest victories you can ask for, buddy.
I love it. You can't believe anything any of these coaches say. We all like to believe that our guys are telling the truth and they're never going to leave. It's like, bullshit. These coaches will say whatever they need to say when it comes to, you know, what job they're committed to, what they're going to leave for. You're absolutely right, though. A lot of these Buckeye fans are like, oh, he's the one guy, we didn't renew his contract, he wasn't a very good coach. And it's like, well, you're saying that now that Michigan stole him. I think he's a great coach. I think it's probably one of the better hires that we could have possibly had in that position. I think it does save a guy like Jordan Marshall, probably Micah Capanna as well. You got guys like Benjamin Hall and Cole Cabana that might have been looking around for some guidance, you know, and now I think they have what they need in that running back room. Yeah. You know, it is what it is. We went into Ohio. We snagged a guy. We got a coach. Now, I think we may have lost a coach too this week, Matt. I don't know how deep you got into this story, but you're actually the one that texted me about it initially, so I know you're aware of it. Greg Scruggs, recently hired D-line coach. You know, he was hitting the recruiting trail hard. He was doing a lot of really good things. Came in to replace Elston. He was from Wisconsin. He, you know, we were really feeling this guy, and he got arrested for a DWI. I guess in Michigan they call it an OWI. I don't know. The dude was fucked up and he was driving. You can't do that. You just can't do that. And actually, I don't even want to joke about it too much because. It's really dangerous, man. People lose their lives. People lose their children. Like, it's nothing to be taken lightly. And so when you got a guy driving around Ann Arbor behind the wheel, intoxicated, it's not a good look, especially if you're 1 week into your new job. Sharon Moore did what I think is a commendable thing. He suspended Scruggs indefinitely until the facts come out. We don't know if that means Scruggs will lose his job or not, but I'm telling you, it doesn't look good. Scruggs also, I believe, had a DWI in 2011, which that's a long time ago, but it does still at least represent a pattern of behavior. And typically, when you see guys doing stuff like this, especially at, I think it was 3 a.m. when he got arrested. You got to be wondering, like, what are you doing drinking and driving at 3 a.m. when you just got hired to be a coach on Michigan staff? And it points to that he may have a problem, right? And I'm no expert on a lot of things, but I am an expert on making stupid decisions and, you know, with drugs and alcohol involved. And so I think we might have a case on our hands where Scruggs could potentially have a problem with substances or with alcohol. We don't know yet, so I don't want to jump to conclusions, but I hope that all of this gets sorted out. It is not what I wanted to be seeing come across the Twitter sphere this week.
Well, you know, you and I, Mike, we had a very... I'm not going to say similar conversation, but we had a conversation following the same line of context regarding Michigan's pursuit of Joe Cullen as their defensive coordinator a few months ago. You know, obviously, the two circumstances are very different, right? And the difference between those is that, and you touched on this already, is that while Scruggs' previous DUI was back in 2011, kind of the same realm of time that Joe Cullen last got in his little spot of trouble. This latest arrest kind of establishes a period of continuity for Scruggs with problems that, as far as that kind of stuff is concerned. And you know, you're right. It's not anything to joke about. You know, Michigan fans, when stuff, not stuff like this, but when bad things happen to the program, like, usually Michigan fans will find a way to see the bright side or make light of it. There's really not much of that as far as something like this is concerned, just because, you know, you stand to harm people when you get behind the wheel of a car, whenever you're under the influence of any substance, and it's just not okay. You know, I commend Sharon Moore in the athletic department for acting quickly and bringing it, you know, to the attention of the media and for suspending Scruggs. But, you know, there's also like a little bit of unhappiness, and I can only speak for like the Maize and Brew channel. But, you know, there was a lot of people within the faction of Maize and Brew that felt, you know, that Sharone's statement on the matter was like a little iffy, right? You know, it's kind of not making light of it, you know, but, you know, it's very quick to point out that Scruggs, you know, realizes that he made a mistake and, you know, that he's not making any excuses and stuff like that. But, you know, I really don't want to hear anything like that at this point. I'm really disappointed that that something like this happened. You have this excellent staff that Sharone Moore has put in place. There's so much positive, you know, friction, like so much stuff happening in the eyes of just the leadership within the football program, just stock going way up. And then you have this guy going out and getting a OWI or DUI or whatever they call it in Michigan. And it just kind of puts a damper on a lot of it. You know what I mean? The defensive line is one of Michigan's strongest, you know, position groups on the entire team. And I just really hope that they're able to come up with a reasonable course of action following these events.
Yeah, and the quote that Sharone Moore came out with that you referenced, I actually have it right here. It says, "Greg made an unfortunate mistake and was arrested for operating a vehicle while intoxicated. He made no excuses and has taken accountability for his actions. The football program and athletic department have suspended Greg indefinitely while we review details of the incident." To me, I mean, I don't know how you can really be mad about that statement. That's a pretty good statement. As a matter of fact, I was leaning towards not suspending the guy. And then when Sharone came out with this statement, I was like, yeah, that's, you know, it started to hit me. I was like, yeah, you can't really have a guy do that. Because we mentioned, right, this isn't like getting in an altercation while drunk at a basketball game or something, right? It's like, okay, so you're an idiot, you got hot-headed, you tried to fight somebody, like that's dumb. Drinking and driving, I mean, Matt, you and I have kids, we have young kids, you know, and it's like that's how people lose their kids. Like this is not adults or family members or whoever, right? Like it is not something to be taken lightly. So I'm glad that he was suspended. But on the flip side of that, I don't think this makes Scruggs a bad dude, right? Like, there were thousands of people drinking and driving that night that didn't get arrested, and not all of them are bad people. It's a part of our society. It's something we need to address, and it's very easy to leave a bar or a restaurant having one too many and then driving around. Now, I think when we see what his blood alcohol level is, like, I haven't read the reports yet, but that'll tell us a lot about what was going on. If he's sitting at like a 0.09, then we're like, oh, he had like three drinks and maybe didn't even realize how tipsy he was. But if he's sitting there like just obliterated driving around town, we have a different situation on our hands. And so I think Sharone Moore made the right move. I think they're going to wait and see exactly what happens. You mentioned the D-line. You know, the D-line is the strongest position group on Michigan's team. I don't even think that's debatable. I think the D-line going into next year is by far the strongest position group on the team. So the positive side of that is it's the one position group that can probably handle a little bit of turmoil like this. But the downside is, like, come on, man. Don't mess up what we got going on the D-line. Like, let's get these guys hitting on all cylinders with solid leadership, right? Because they have the chance at being the best D-line college football has ever seen. I mean, you got Kenneth Grant and Mason Graham in the middle. Like, this is going to be a legendary D-line. And so my hope is that we either quickly work this out with Scruggs and we find out that maybe it's not quite as bad as it looks, or we cut bait with them fast and make another hire that gets these guys the leadership that they deserve.
Completely agree, Mike. And, you know, just for the record, I'm not saying that he's a bad dude or anything like that, but I'm with you. You know, I think that there's a swift form of action that needs to take place, whatever that does look like. But, you know, in my eyes, like if you were to ask me prior to this podcast, like Michigan is going to have a good team this year. You know, I'm not really one of those that's of the belief that Michigan is in for like this super down year. Like, I think that they return a lot. I think that they bring a lot of guys back, and the defensive line is at the heart of all of that. So to see Scruggs getting in this kind of trouble not long after his hire, I mean, that's just really heartbreaking to me. And I hope that there's some form of accountability and resolution that just comes quickly, no matter what that looks like. If there's some internal punishment that like nobody else is aware of or something like that, whatever it be, like I just want something done to where Sharon Moore can get this culture, you know, in check, to where we're not dealing with things like this just because we have a gang of new coaches entering the building. You know what I mean?
How would you feel about letting him resume his duties and then being suspended for the non-conference games?
I mean, I'd be okay with that.
It's kind of a tradition at this point at Michigan, right?
I mean, it's the old Harbaugh punishment there.
Yeah, I mean, don't forget Sharon Moore was suspended for a game last year, man. I don't know, and then of course we still got the NCAA stuff kind of looming. They're gonna try to do something, but they've been castrated by these other lawsuits, and so that's a different conversation for a different day. Let's talk a little bit about basketball. It was the most abysmal season Michigan basketball has ever seen. A nice little gut punch earlier in the week. John Sanderson, strength and conditioning coach, hired by Illinois. And it's like, okay, like we knew he was going to go somewhere. It's like, it hurts that it was Illinois because he's such a strong strength and conditioning coach. And then my whole thing is later in the week, Juwan Howard got fired, and I'm sitting there thinking like, come on, man, you guys messed up the order of this whole situation. So do you think that John Sanderson would have stayed had Ward Manuel fired Juwan Howard earlier in the season? I think the answer to that is yes. I think it's absolutely yes. I think Sanderson left because of Howard. So now here we are. We hung on to Howard too long. We lost John Sanderson, and now he is coaching for one of our biggest basketball rivals.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I mean, it sucks, right? I mean, you have well-established, very reputable strength and conditioning coach in John Sanderson just make this immediate move after, you know, leaving the Michigan basketball program over to another Big Ten school. And in my mind, Mike, it really says a lot about what the college basketball world, if not the Big Ten conference, other schools in general, feels about this whole John Sanderson, Juwan Howard debacle, right? I mean, it speaks to that a lot, if you ask me, that John Sanderson was just quickly able to go and make another move over to another school within days that you can count on one hand of him leaving the Michigan basketball program. A guy that was well-rooted within the John Beilein era, a very reputable strength and conditioning coach within the college basketball world. I don't even know if he's going to Illinois to be a strength and conditioning coach. I think he's just coming on in like a consultant or analyst type role for the Fighting Illini or something like that, which again, you know, speaks to his credibility in the college basketball landscape. So I think we lost, you know, a really good guy in Sanderson for what, you know, you've already touched on is kind of a pointless scenario. And Juwan Howard being fired just days later, right? You know, Sanderson was somebody that they held on to through the whole Beilein debacle, through the hiring of Howard, was retained into Howard's time at Michigan. So it's just a huge bummer to me. And, you know, hopefully we can bring in somebody to kind of right this ship and get Michigan basketball to a point where they're not the laughing stock of the sport anymore.
Something else that people are not talking about very much is that John Sanderson's son is a high profile recruit. People didn't realize that. And he undoubtedly would have come to Ann Arbor in a couple of years. I think he's a class of 25 or 26. He's a high profile recruit. I think he might be a 4-star. Don't quote me on that. I haven't looked him up in a while, but so not only do we lose John Sanderson, but we lose this potential recruit. Speaking of recruits, Connie Ruths updated his status after the firing of Juwan Howard, and he said, "I need to see who the new head coach will be, the players that are leaving, staying, who I'll be there with." And so I think that's the general sentiment right now among current players and committed players. It's just they got to wait and see. And I would say that we see 60% of our scholarship players transfer. That's what I think. I don't know who, I don't know how, I don't know what. I think that you're going to see whatever coach that gets hired is going to bring in at least 3 or 4 starters on this team. So that's exciting, though. The Michigan basketball team is going to be, you know, hopeful again, I think. And so with that being said, why don't we talk about who would make a good basketball coach? I know you and I were texting before the show. I actually put out an article this morning about 5 coaches that I believe Michigan basketball should pursue. And so we might have some overlap here. You and I both prepared 5 coaches that we think Michigan should pursue. I'm going to let you go first, Matt. We'll go back and forth, though, and just talk about some names. We can just spitball some names. I got a couple extra names that I'll bring up at the end just that are kind of interesting. And we can talk about, are they, you know, ideal candidates but not very realistic? Are they up-and-coming coaches that would be awesome? Are they proven veterans that we might not have a shot at landing, but we should go make them say no anyway? Like, you know, so let's have that conversation. So who's your first coach you believe Michigan should pursue?
Yeah, it's funny, Mike, because, you know, as I'm looking through my list here, like most of these guys have some type of tie to a Florida school, which, you know, I'm from Florida. But
yeah,
these are a lot of the guys that have been catching my attention that have been mentioned within, you know, the media and the coaching search speculation so far. The guy at the top of my list, and I think that this guy might be at the top of yours as well, is Dusty May out of Florida Atlantic. He's probably one of the most intriguing candidates for me thus far. Let's see. In the 22-23 season, the Owls went from the number 8 seed to the Final 4 that year.
Yeah.
And, you know, they've showed no signs of slowing down since then. I think that this guy is a winner that can do a lot with the Michigan basketball program. If you look at what he's done so far with Florida Atlantic, really impressed with him as a candidate.
Yeah, Dusty May was 5th on my list, actually. But I don't really know if I ranked him. I just kind of have 5 guys that you know, he kind of came up 5th. So he was one of my 5 guys. You mentioned they were America's.
This is in no particular order for me as well. I don't know if I'd name him at the top for me either.
He's definitely one of the fan favorites, right? Last year, that Final Four run, they were America's sweetheart, the Cinderella story. They went 35-4. This year, 24-7, still pretty damn good. There may not be a hotter new name in coaching than Dusty May, so I think Michigan fans should definitely keep an eye out on him. I'm going to go ahead and get the elephant in the room out of the way. John Beilein is one of my 5. If you're Michigan and you're not talking to John Beilein, then you're crazy. The fact that Ward Manuel is the one doing this coaching search does not instill confidence in me, but I'm hopeful that he's talking to John Beilein. I believe Beilein still has a teaching position in with Michigan right now, at least as of last year he did. So Beilein is in the Ann Arbor area. He's doing stuff. He need, you know, if anybody that's been living under a rock that's listening to this podcast that doesn't know who that is, I'm assuming everybody does because it's a Michigan podcast. John Beilein is former Michigan coach. Took Michigan to two national championships. That's right, two national championships. He lost them both, but took them to two natties. He's taken four different teams to the NCAA tournament. So this guy knows how to coach. The one question mark with John Beilein is his age. The first thing I did when Juwan Howard got fired was Googled John Beilein's age. He's 71 years old. So the question becomes, how quickly can he rebuild a program? Because Beilein is not a John Calipari kind of go get five stars kind of guy. At least he wasn't. So at 71 years of age, we get maybe three or four good years out of Beilein. I don't think it's realistic to expect much more than that. Can he rebuild the program with his style in today's NIL era? That would be the question.
And another noteworthy component of this whole conversation, Mike, is the status in which Juwan Howard leaves this Michigan basketball program, right? Because it's no longer a conversation of just taking on a job at the University of Michigan as their head basketball coach. This is also a rebuild that, you know, whoever takes this position is taking on. Michigan, not the most well-reputed school when it comes to NIL, so you have that working against the grain for you. Also, you know, as you've already touched on and alluded to, Michigan stands to lose God knows how many guys to the transfer portal. There's recruits that are committed that might not stick that out with the Wolverines. Whoever takes this job has a lot going against them. So it's not really just so much like come to the University of Michigan, you know, be great again in a season or two, you know, guaranteed. It's more like, you know, this is going to be a difficult undertaking for anybody who chooses to make that move. So guys like, you know, I know a lot of people are saying like Jay Wright or guy at San Diego State, you know, but I think that there's a lot that needs to be had in terms of discussion about whether or not guys like that would consider Michigan with all of those factors working against them if they were to take that position. And, you know, John Beilein is a very exciting name for me myself. I would love to see John Beilein take the job again. And also noteworthy was John U. Bacon coming out on Twitter and posting something that said to the effect of, "It has come to my attention that John Beilein might consider the Michigan men's basketball head coaching position if asked, but I don't know if he'll be asked. We're still in nobody knows anything territory. Just about anything could happen at this point." So
how would you not ask John Beilein? You know what I mean? Like, that should be the first call they make, is just like, "Hey, the job's yours if you want it. 3-year contract." You know, he handed over such a good basketball program to Juwan Howard. He could not have handed over a better situation. Usually when Hall of Fame coaches leave, like Lloyd Carr in football, they're kind of handing over, like they kind of know the next year is going to be tough and they hand over a bad program. John Beilein never should have left for the Cleveland Cavaliers. I don't blame him for doing it. It was something that he wanted to try. He had, like, I think it was a 30-win season the year prior, and he handed off, like, you know, Isaiah Livers and those guys. So my whole thing with Beilein is they got to offer him the job. But anyway, let's keep some names going. We got about 10 more minutes here. What's another name that's on your list?
Well, I'm just going to get this one out of the way. I think this one's a little bit more of an obvious pick, but I'm going Will Wade at McNeese State, right? You know,
yep.
Michigan fans are familiar with them after they beat us early in the season. And they're just on a tear this year, right? And I think that he is of the demographic of guys that you want to pick from, you know, when it comes to hiring for this kind of position, right? You know, he checks all of the boxes. You know, young up and coming coach, 30-3 with the Cowboys when they won the Southland Conference on their way to the to an NCAA tournament berth. So I think that that this guy is really impressive. If you can lure him away from McNeese State, where he's got kind of a comfy build going for him over there, to make that move over to Michigan, I think that that's definitely a conversation that Ward, Manuel and company should be having.
Yeah, the fact that you even have to wonder if we can lure somebody away from McNeese State shows you how bad the situation is for basketball in Ann Arbor. But I have faith that that'll change. I think we're still gaining our footing in the NIL era. The thing I like about Will Wade, who was also on my list, by the way, the thing I like about him is McNeese State is currently number 4 in the nation in scoring defense. Man, that is music to my ears right there after watching these Juwan Howard teams. There's a few stats that I looked at when I was looking at coaches that I would want. Scoring defense was one of them. Assist to turnover ratio and rebounding margin. After watching these Juwan teams really just play undisciplined and give up a lot of points, not rebound the basketball, not pass it very well, and turn the ball over, those were the things I really wanted to look at. So Will Wade definitely checks that box. This year will be his 6th tourney appearance. He was with LSU prior, and then I want to say VCU before that. And so the guy knows ball. He knows how to coach defense. And yeah, you mentioned 30-3 record this season. I don't care what level or conference you're playing at. You win 30 games and you get my attention.
And not to mention, they were like 11-23 last year or something like that. I mean, they were down bad. And this guy righted the ship and did it in impressive status. So really, really drawn to that pick.
All right, who else you got?
I'm sticking in the Sunshine State here. I'm going with Amir Abdur Rahim from USF, the USF Bulls. This guy has been really impressive to me the last couple of years. Built Kennesaw State from a 1-28 team, just transitioning from Division II into a 26-9 team that made the tourney. USF hired him. The Bulls are 23-6 and won the AAC at 16-2. I think this guy is a very impressive candidate that might be a little bit slept on at this point. Does have a little bit of a knock against him for his time with Kansas State. But I don't really like put too much of that on him. He was just getting going in his coaching career. But I think that this is another guy that might be flying a little bit under the radar that could be a great option for Michigan to look at.
I have seen his name floating around a little bit, but I will admit, I don't know anything about this guy. Zero. Nothing. So I'm not going to pretend like I do. There's only so much basketball you could watch, especially when you're a Michigan fan and it's been a down year. And
you know, that's why I kind of stuck to a lot of these Florida guys, just because, you know, I watch a lot of college basketball here in Florida, and you know, some of these guys are young, impressive basketball minds, and I wouldn't be surprised for Michigan to target some of these names down here.
Yeah, especially FAU. I mean, the Dusty May guy for sure. But I'll look into what's his name,
Amir Abdur Rahim.
Abdur Rahim. I keep wanting to say Muhammad Ali Abdur Rahman when I see that.
I know,
that.
Me too.
That's where I want to go with Michigan. But okay, now let me go to who I think is probably the best choice. Like, if I take everything into consideration, this is the guy that I think is the best choice. Because I think it's realistic that he would make this move. I think his style would translate very well to what we want at Michigan. I think he coaches fundamentals, and actually his national stats show that, and he's used to competing in a really good conference. So Mark Pope who is currently the head coach at BYU. He's won 20 games with BYU, 4 out of the last 5 seasons. They're ranked nationally 7th in assist to turnover ratio, and have a really good rebounding margin. I think they're 24th in the country in rebounding margin. He hasn't had a lot of really deep runs in the tournament, nothing like that. But I believe that it's only a matter of time before this guy makes a run at the Final Four. I think he's probably the best realistic candidate. I have some other candidates that I would like more, but he's my most realistic candidate that I think would make a really good head coach. Haven't heard a lot of people talking about him either. I went out and kind of found my own guys rather than look at like who's everybody talking about. And so for me, this is a guy that would be interesting to pursue.
I like it. I like him. And I did do a little bit of reading on him prior to the show. I think that he'd be an excellent candidate. I think it'd be a little bit tough to lure him away from BYU. That's where he's at right now, correct?
Yeah. And he's a religious guy too.
He's a Mormon, if I'm not mistaken.
I think so. And so it's like that gets, that was my one thing that I'm like, I don't know enough about that, right? Like, is that just like his forever home because of his religion? Like, I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, no, agreed. I'm going to go a little bit more off grid here. I'm going with Anthony Grant over at Dayton. This guy's been really impressive to me. Also stemming from the Florida olive tree here. He was a 10-year assistant under Billy Donovan. I just made some notes here. Was a valuable commodity as a head coach with his stint at Dayton. The last 7 seasons, he went 148 with 71 losses, right? So he's got good the percentage. Record to back him up. He was also the architect of a Flyers team in Dayton in 2019 to 2020 that went 29-2 and was poised to make a deep run in that tournament prior to the whole thing getting scrapped because of COVID. So that's another impressive mark against him with him. And he also had a winning record at VCU of 76-25 and Alabama, 100, where he went 117-85 prior to his days at Dayton. So this guy's got a really good track record. Another real under the radar candidate that, you know, success has just continued to follow him. In all of his years as an assistant as well as a head coach. So I think that, you know, this is kind of the area that Michigan needs to be looking at. Maybe not so much of a mainstream home run hire like Shaka Smart or, you know, something like that. I think that there's a lot of these guys that Michigan could really stand to scoop up on if they kind of just do a little bit of digging and make the right choice.
Yeah, I actually don't think that Shaka Smart is a home run hire. I had him on my list and just decided to remove him. Shaka Smart has been blessed with a lot of really good opportunities to do amazing things and hasn't really done them, actually. I mean, so he's a good coach. I mean, he's been on the precipice of doing great things, but I really like that pick there, the Dayton coach that you just mentioned. The last guy I want to mention, well, I'm going to bring up a few more names, but the last guy that's on my list here, this is my dark horse candidate. I haven't heard anybody talk about this guy, but I think he would be a good pick. His name is Danny Sprinkle. He is the head coach at Utah State. He's a rising star in the coaching ranks and will end up being a big name. Utah State is currently 27-6 and is poised to make a tourney run. And most importantly, you got to be tough with a name like Sprinkle. You know what I mean? Like, you don't grow up with a name like Sprinkle and not turn into a tough son of a bitch. So I'm all for it. Ward, go out there, interview Danny Sprinkle. I feel like there's lots of Sprinkle memes and joke opportunities that we could have for years to come. And he's a damn good coach. He is proving to be a damn good coach. And I think if we don't go after him, somebody will. That's a name we're going to be hearing about for years to come.
For my last one, Mike, I'm going to go with, for the purpose of similarity, Nico Medved over at Colorado State. Yeah. And this is a guy that's already been mentioned by a few of the Michigan reporting outlets as a possible candidate. I'll tell you what really draws me to him, and that's his ability to recover from the exact type of situation that he would be taking over in with Michigan. If you remember, when he got the job at Colorado State, he took over for Larry Eustachy, who left a giant hole in that program, immediately improved that CSU team from 224th in Eustachy's last year to 180th, 99th, 76th, and then 46th in 2022. You know what I mean? Which is impressive for a program like Colorado State. So if you look at the similarities between the state of Michigan basketball right now, with just this giant hole in it, with possibly even more on the way, you know, following the offseason and whatever happens there, I think that this is the guy with the type of proven success that Michigan would want to look at to dig themselves out of a hole like that. That's really the main hangup for me, Mike, is I think any of these guys could coach a great basketball team at Michigan, any of these guys that we're talking about, but can they recover from what's been done to Michigan so far? Because Michigan basketball is in a down bad state right now, with like probably more bad on the way over the course of the offseason. Yeah. So whoever takes this job has got to be prepared to do some digging, right? I'll tell you before I move on, my one last dark horse candidate, and that would be Medved's successor, and that's Darian DeVries over at Drake, right? He took over for Medved after Medved's single season at Drake, and after a couple of okay to good years, he's really done a great job with that program. I don't know how much anyone pays attention to Drake, but you know, they've been a force since he's taken over. A little bit more of a smaller sample size to look at when you're looking at DeVries. But again, I think another great young hire that would do really well with Michigan in the current situation that they're in right now.
Yeah, a couple really good names there. A few other names to consider as we wrap up. You mentioned San Diego State. Brian Dutcher is he's a Michigan guy. You know, his time goes all the way back to the Fab Five. He had a really good run last year. He's a very popular guy. What is his name? Bennett. The guy. So is it Tony Bennett? No, not Tony. Randy Bennett. So there is a Tony Bennett. That's not the coach I'm talking about. Tony Bennett is somebody that people have brought up. Randy Bennett is the head coach of St. Mary's. He's been there like 23 years though, so I just removed him from my list, because when I see a guy that's been somewhere for 23 years, I'm like, he's probably content retiring there. But St. Mary's is an amazing basketball program, and they are statistically in the top five of several major categories in the country. I mean, the dude is a really good coach. Shaka Smart was a name that you brought up. Chris Beard, a former Texas Tech and Texas basketball coach that ended up coaching at Ole Miss. That dude can coach defense. I would love to hire Chris Beard. There is an issue there, though. He left Texas because of a domestic violence situation. And so it's like, and he was all the charges were dropped, but also it just doesn't look good. So I left him off my list.
He'll be slapping the Wisconsin head coach before you can even count to five.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know if I want to touch that. You know, we'll go ahead and it's like that Homer Simpson meme when he just backs into the bushes, right? I'm just like, all right, we're not going to do that necessarily. But I think of all the names that we named here today, there's still a pretty good chance that we didn't even name the guy that gets the job. Like, that's how wide open this thing is. And so it's exciting. I kind of love a good coach search, because it's just kind of an exciting situation. In football, we all knew it was going to be Sharon. I don't know if you follow Boat Shoes Woodson on Twitter, but he was saying we should go get Tommy Amaker. I was like, that would be the most Ward Manuel ass thing to do. Go hire Tommy Amaker, who, by the way, is a great coach. But can you imagine the pain and suffering of Michigan fans if we went and hired Amaker, who, you know, missed 10 straight tournaments with Michigan a couple decades ago?
That would certainly be an interesting hire. Probably not too far off of, you know, granted, Juwan's first couple years with Michigan went well, but, you know, I don't think that any Michigan fans are out there clamoring for another unproven hire at this point, but it certainly would be interesting to watch that happen.
Get one of these young guys that's been a head coach for a couple of years, that's winning 25, 30 games in a smaller conference, and just move them up. I mean, that is the most logical thing to do in this situation. Well, that does it, man. We're a little bit over our time. That was the Big House Bleachers podcast. I'm Michael Smeltzer. That is Matt Hartwell. And as always, go blue.
Go blue.